What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, a Widow Wednesday on June 21st, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One at Gary Widow.
Good morning. Yes, it's like we just realized before the show, today's the summer solstice, isn't it? Longest day of the year. And I think, at least where I am, the hottest day. It's too fucking hot, Greg. I don't know what's like where you are.
It's too hot in the Bay.
It's too damn hot. I don't like it.
A morning meeting, and Andy and Barrett were already talking about how hot it is where they are. You're talking about how hot it is where you are. You look like you just came from working out, but you didn't, right?
Well, I mean, we both know that's not the case. But no, I'm wearing like the least amount of clothes possible because it's really, really hot today, and I don't like it. And you know, San Francisco houses don't have air conditioning. At least if you lived in LA, like, they know it's going to be hot,
and they're not air conditioning into the houses.
They're not.
Well, you know, before we ruined the environment, SF was pretty stable. You know what I mean? It didn't get too hot. It didn't get too cold.
Yeah, but then everybody's like, you know what?
Spray your hair. Yeah, that's when I built everything.
Were both of you, speaking in the environment, were both of you living here in the city that day? What was it, like a year or so ago when we woke up and it was just fucking orange? It was like living in Blade Runner.
Ago, yeah, that was
It was freaky. Yeah. Remember that?
You've known me and Barrett for how long? Yeah, we were living here. It was COVID. We could wear
I didn't know if both of you were in the city at that point, but yeah, it was it was weird, right? I remember just going out and walking around because it was like living on Mars. It was surreal.
Sure. Yeah. It was not a good scene.
That was not great.
Yeah, that was not great.
But anyway, how are you, Greg?
I'm good. I don't know if you heard. I'm getting a Steam Deck, Gary. It's happened. Don't worry about it.
I know. What a waste. What a terrible waste.
Gary, stuff on your side. Barrett, run the clip, everybody. TikTok.com/@kindoffunnygames. This is the new TikTok out. It's the hotness. Let's watch it. This is the energy I'm putting into the universe today. I tweeted, I'm feeling it. This is my week. I will get my email about my Steam Deck being ready. I feel
love
it.
That. Love
so
that.
Now live, everybody, I'm going to open up my Steam Deck email, throw that open, and I'm not even making it up. It's here. Boo. It is here. Boo. There you go. 16 minutes ago, motherfucker. Praise be to Jesus
and our Satan.
Whoever made this happen. This is the... Gary, you're a Steam Deck user. You have a Steam Deck. You're gonna come in. I'm part of the club now. You're immediately gonna insult me. I open the door to the clubhouse. I immediately get insulted. What is that all about, sir?
I mean, there's so much to unpack here. The one thing that you did get right is the Hail Satan part, because this is absolutely not God's work that you're getting a Steam Deck. This is an affront to the gaming gods, I would say. I don't even know where to start. First of all, I want to ask you this. So, just on this whole prediction, like, oh, I've got this feeling that when I open my email, I'm going to get this invitation. And it turned out to be the case. I feel like even that was a setup, right? You either knew, you either had seen the email, or you saw that other people were getting their emails, because a bunch of people got their emails yesterday.
Well, no.
You just had a feeling that you were going to get yours as well.
If you, but like, Gary, were an actual dedicated journalist, you would know that last week on a stream, I got walked through, on the Reddit for Steam Deck, how to go through.
That was a post show as well. That was a post show.
It was Games Daily that then went into a post show, where to get in line. And I was, they're like, good news, like, the people who ordered around you are 97% fulfilled. And then, of course, as a Steam Deck person who's been on the outside, I know, of course, Monday and Thursday are when the emails go out saying, hey, pay us for your Steam Deck. So it was just happens. As Sunday, I felt good that this was going to be the week, 97%. How much longer can they make me wait? And then don't try to rain on my parade. Don't try to act like this is a scheduled bit. That was a genuine Greg reaction.
So you went through a process. You paid the credit card, the whole thing. Like, now you just wait for it to ship?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm here, Gary. I'm ready. Blessing put out a video on his channel about the things I need to do for the Steam Deck. Very excited.
There's so many thoughts running through my head right now. I don't even know where to start.
Usually what you start with, congratulations, Greg. I'm glad you're here to play Steam Deck games with me, your friend Gary Witta. That's where you'd start. You know what I mean? Now you're already looking for the little British Barbie.
Why do you even want this thing? It plays PC games, which you have historically done nothing but deride and scorn and mock. So why do you even want this thing?
Because the problem with PC games has always been, oh, well, you don't have the right graphics card, you don't have the right driver, you don't have the thing. This is the Steam Deck. I'm just going to turn it on. It's going to work, right?
You think that's over?
I'm going to pop the game in.
Let me tell you, as a Steam Deck owner, it ain't over.
Yeah.
You got to go in through, like, maybe not every game, even if it says, like, deck verified, maybe it doesn't run smooth. So you got to go into the back end.
You got to go
like,
into the limits right,
like,
back end.
I need to bring down the FPS. Or,
trust
you know,
me, Valve, down, you guys Valve are ensured that you
You
got,
guys are just trying to scare me right
Valve
now.
Valve made sure that going the Steam into the Deck encompasses end, the right? entire PC gaming experience, which includes all the having to fuck around to get games running. And trust like, me, they've got it.
And Greg, like, also, you're talking a big game about playing this Ghostbusters Sega game or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. Like, you're going to go through the steps to get that working on the Steam Deck.
All I know is that Blessing Adeoye Jr., God bless him, has it running on his Steam Deck, right? So I don't have to learn. I can ask Bless, how is it? What do I do? Where do I go? What do I do? Where I drag the little file and put it into the little file, and I got the little file. Well, then I download Rogue Legacy 2, and I'm set until the next indie game I care
about.
What's
funny is that you've got, we've talked about this a million times before, but the Steam Deck kind of adds an extra wrinkle to it. As consoles become more like PCs, you know, where it's constant updates, patches, having to like fucking get screwdrivers out to upgrade the storage and all this
I
kind of stuff.
I wanted to know today, right?
And
before
now
we went,
PCs
right
with the Steam
live,
Deck are becoming
right
more
we
like
live,
consoles.
Gary.
We're right meeting in the we middle, Greg. PC games and console games are now indistinguishable from one another.
Right before we went live, I went and switched out my cover on my work PS5 to one of the new pink one I got or whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was cracking up thinking about you as I took the one screw out of the goddamn base. Gary's so dead set that this one screw in the PS5 base makes it a PC.
Was it Barrett? Was it you that just upgraded recently your PS5 memory? You had to go online and look at a guide, right? You had to watch a video.
Yeah, I watched.
That doesn't sound very console-y to me. I'm going to go watch a YouTube walkthrough.
And I watched a YouTube walkthrough to like do the PS4 upgrading for the hard drive back in the day. It's a 5-minute process. I just wanted to make sure I was doing it right. So I went to the one and only Destin Legary from IGN, a source that I can trust.
Yeah.
And I was
just
like, all right, I just want to make sure that I'm taking the faceplate off correctly.
Yeah, I know.
And all this stuff.
Did you have the thing that I had where you felt like it was going to snap right before it actually comes off naturally?
No, it came off.
I felt like mine was going to snap.
Because
I did the same thing as you.
My problem was.
Yeah, that was annoying as well. Yeah. I watched the original, like the official PlayStation one that they put out back in the day. And that was, and it's scary because there's a part where they say, now, as you take the screw off the little metal plate, make sure you don't accidentally drop the screw into the massive fucking Death Star exhaust port fan vent that's right next to it. And that makes
like
you,
it's
like playing fucking Operation.
I mean, not really. It's just common sense. Don't drop the screw into the middle of the PS5 where it's going to be impossible to get unless you want to tear open your PS5.
Maybe don't
more.
Put the tiny little screw next to the giant screw-sucking fan vent.
It's not on!
You're not supposed
to be doing this.
That works if it falls in, but if it falls in there, you ain't getting it back. It's going to rattle around in there.
Just do this.
Yeah,
do the guitar thing
where you
like drop a pick into the base of the guitar.
I actually nearly fucked up because I thought, I've got this right. I was putting it all back together. And my 9-year-old kid came along and said, "What are you supposed to put that metal plate back on top before you close it?" I was like, "Oh shit, yeah, I am." So I almost fucked that up because my kid spotted it before I did.
Sparks are shooting out of it.
It was a 5-minute process.
Yeah.
I opened
it up. Yeah, do you know how long the process is on Xbox? Literally 1 second.
Yeah, but like,
but then you do the thing where you install the extended memory on the Xbox, Gary, and you stare at the Xbox because there's nothing to play on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you even talking about? Absolute madness. So I want to go back to this. Steam Deck, right?
Yeah.
When you get it out of the box, I know the first thing that everyone does when they get a Steam Deck is not play any games on it, but like take pictures of it and go, look at me, I have a Steam Deck. Here's a title screen of a game that I'm going to not play. I'm going to turn this game off after I've taken the screenshot. We've all done that. What are you actually going to play on this thing? What PC games do you want to play on this thing?
Ghostbusters on the Sega Master System.
Oh my God.
And then Rogue Legacy 2. I want Rogue Legacy 2 ready to go as a handheld device.
I feel like this Steam Deck is like the same as I feel the same way as I did when you got that 3080.
Yeah.
I just think like what a waste. Like I would rather that 3080 have gone to a fucking cryptocurrency miner.
3080
at least
right
it would have been put to use. At least it would have been put to use.
Think about this,
too.
Like my
bad use.
My 3080 is in my work PC over here, right? That I stream, do all stuff. But of course, I want to play my games on the TV. So when I had to review the Quarry, did I disconnect my 3080 PC? Nah, I just grabbed Jen's PC and drug that over there. I don't know what
that is. Here's the life cycle of Greg's Steam Deck. Out of the box, take a picture. Tweeted at Paris with a thing that says "fuck you, Paris." Back in
no,
the box.
No. Paris and I are
again.
Flipping on Khalif now. Now we're flipping on Khalif.
Yeah, they're
join
joining
up.
Forces. It's going to be really bad, Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'll do your fuck you tweet, and then that's it. You'll never play it again. If you want some advice for actual good PC games you can play on it, come talk to me, an actual PC gamer.
You're just going to be Power Rock Simulator. PC Gamer Magazine.
I can help you out. I can open the door for you.
Gary, real quick.
You can walk through
it. I made a joke there about Power Wash Simulator, all right? I want you to know at Summer Game Fest, I played Power Wash Simulator 2.
That is a great game that you should play on the Steam Deck.
What a fucking game. Power Wash Simulator
really
2.
Quick. That needs to come to the consoles because that's a terrific game.
Gary, the one hope I have for Greg and his fucking Steam Deck is that Persona 5 Royal is coming to Steam in October. And maybe with the access of having Persona 5 Royal as a handheld game, Greg will actually put more time into it.
Do you think there's an element of this where Greg can like kind of pretend that the Vita is still alive?
Yes, that's 100%. That is 100%.
That's what's really going on here.
Yes.
Like,
I've never hidden that. I've never hidden that fact.
Yeah, it's like a fucking real doll.
Real quick, I'm pretty sure Power Wash Simulator, the original, was out on consoles.
It's not out on consoles.
It isn't?
No, it should be. And I hope it
Wikipedia says Power Wash Simulator, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X.
What's that?
Wikipedia says it's on Xbox.
Not as far as
I know.
The new
one is definitely coming to Xbox.
What?
Because I think it might even be Game Pass, but I could be wrong with that.
Anyway, it is a great game, and it is deck verified, and it works very well on the deck. There's a ton of great games that are worth playing on the deck, and I hope you do actually genuinely get into it. I know I'm giving you shit over it, but I think this will actually open your... It's going to open up so many games to you that you otherwise would not have even thought to play, which I think you're going to enjoy.
See, I want to go that far. I just think that there'll be a lot of games I want to play handheld. And I think now when the indie stuff comes around, it'll be a more convenient fashion for me to jump on. Power Wash Simulator launches July 14th for Xbox Series X, Xbox One.
Ooh, there you go. That's going to be great. I'm excited about that.
I just
want
to point out to chat where they're like, oh, but Persona 5 Royal's coming to Xbox. You can play it on Xbox. I'm talking about handhelds. If you want to talk about xCloud, Greg's not going to play a 120-hour JRPG on xCloud chat. There's going to be a way for him to play this game.
Given
finally.
That Persona's not coming to the Switch, this is really the only way to play Persona 5.
As far as we
right?
know.
See, the other thing about it, because the Steam Deck will run the Game Pass, right? The old Game Pass, it'll do all that
you could,
stuff.
I guess you could,
there's
Xbox,
like a,
you could,
there's
you
like
could
a back-end way. That's where you have to like bring up the like browser, Greg, and then you play it through the browser.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not doing that, no. See, because you jump through the other one, right? So it'll play a Windows game then, right? It'll play that. That's how your PC.
Well, you gotta install.
It's on Steam.
Windows.
If it's on Steam, it's playing it.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. I really enjoyed my time with Moonglow Bay. If you remember that game, where
I liked Moonglow Bay. I played that on the Xbox.
I played it on Xbox too, but then I fell off because I was like, you know what? This is a perfect Switch game. But since Nintendo can't get their head out of their ass and get Moonglow Bay on it, I'll just play that on my Steam Deck too. So there you go, Gary. Now
just remember, not everything on Steam is going
to
work on your Steam Deck. There are certain things that you know.
I go to the Steam
heavily
page,
on like mouse and keyboard controls. And
yeah, but Moonglow
like
Bay doesn't. Moonglow Bay. Anything Greg Miller is going to play.
What's
is
nice about the Steam Deck is it has a special version of the Steam store that has a curated section for games that are verified and work really well on the Steam Deck. So you can kind of just peruse that.
Steam Deck Moonglow Bay is playable. It's got the little yellow eye.
Yeah, I don't go in unless it's a full green light. I don't like yellow lights.
Well, there like Blessing played Neon White before Neon White was like verified, because even Paris, when he tried to bring it up the other day, he got like the warning of like, hey, like we haven't fully verified this, but Blessing was like, it runs fine. So
yeah,
Gary, you know what we say to adventure this summer in 2022? We say yes to adventure.
Say yes to adventure, Gary. I'm sick of you sitting there with your huge guns trying to stop adventure. And I'm also sick of you stopping all the questions of the day. Like, are we about to get a reveal of Skate 4? How big is Gotham City and Gotham Knights? And how many review embargoes were today? We'll answer all these questions and ask some, I'm sure, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/Kind of Funny Games. Over on Patreon.com/Kind of Funny Games, you can write in with your questions, comments, concerns about the daily news. You can get the show ad free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do. You could get shows like the Gamescast that is recording this afternoon live as we record it all on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. There are plenty of free ways to support the show. You could use the Epic Creator Code KINDOFFUNNY. If you're playing Fortnite, pop that in on whatever platform you're using. Or if you're using the Epic Game Store, go ahead and pop that in. Every part of your purchases goes to us, and it's nice and it doesn't cost you anything extra. You just support the show. Of course, for free, you can be watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just like Jay Fulcrum is, Fabu Dabu Doo, and Rye2KVR all are. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday.
Literally as we were talking, I just went and grabbed Neon White and on Steam, and I'm installing it now because I keep hearing really good things about it.
It's a game of the year contender, Gary. We'll talk more.
That's
about
what I'm
it
hearing.
Gamescast.
I got I see Nitro Rifle on my friend's list. He's playing it right now. He can't get enough of it.
Damn, Andy, do some work. Of course, Gamescast today will be the review of TMNT and Neon White. A very exciting time. But more importantly, housekeeping. Snowbike Mike wore a crop top this weekend and he burned his tum-tum. You can come get the whole story on the Kind of Funny podcast right now, youtube.com/kindoffunny podcast services around the globe. I missed that one, Gary, and I'll let you know. I'm very excited to listen to it.
It's a good episode.
Very excited.
I mean, I might have to listen to that one.
Of course. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire and Fargo Brady. Today we're brought to you by Uplift, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 8 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, Gary Michael Witta. What's your middle name? What's your middle name?
I'm not going to tell you my middle name.
Fair enough. Gary Michael Witta, is Skate 4 about to get revealed next month? We go to Try Hard Guides, where Tom Henderson writes, sources have suggested that Skate 4, or simply Skate, will be revealed next month. It's understood that the game has been undergoing extensive playtesting these past few months, with the title being much further along in development than people may have thought. Leaked footage of the game that hit the internet in April of this year showed a very early look at where the game was at in its development cycle, or so we thought. Although the community assumed the footage was from around the same time as when it was leaked, it has since been suggested by several sources that have played the game that the leaked footage was likely months old when it leaked. It's unclear what exactly EA will show off with Skate next month, but it's believed to be the game will finally show off in-game footage. It's been suggested that Skate content creators and journalists will have the opportunity to play and get hands-on with the game to give their impressions. EA has already reported that it will release 4 unnamed titles during its Q4 fiscal year 23 period, which of course is January 1st, 2023 to March 31st, 2023. One of these titles will be, quote, a major IP of which could be Skate, although sources couldn't confirm this theory. Gary Witta, are you excited for Skate 4?
It's funny, we were just talking before the show about how Barrett couldn't find a I Don't Care GIF for me. And I was saying, oh, well, that's kind of an old
don't
meme anyway.
Me,
like,
Gary, don't do this.
And yet,
don't do this.
Refreshed now, because I couldn't give a flying fuck about Skate 4. I don't like skateboarding games. I actually went and grabbed that Tony Hawk 1 and 2 remaster in an attempt, like, yeah, maybe it was just me, like I just, and it is me, but I don't like them. I keep falling off the skateboard.
Here's what I'll say though, I hear you, and I'm not even gonna, this isn't a hard sell, I want you to love whatever you love and like whatever you like and don't like whatever you don't like. Did you ever try Skate? Because I
no, but isn't
not,
Skate
I,
even harder though? Isn't Skate like no. more simmy?
No, well, yes, but it's simmy in a way that, like, part of the gameplay of Skate is getting better as if you were really a skater. Whereas for me, the original Tony Hawk, you know, how Tony Hawk was in 1 and 2, a complete turn off to me. I didn't like Tony Hawk until Thug. And yeah. Skate is more like that in terms of, like, hey, go out and run this line over and over again, like, free skate, come back, try to hit the move you want to do, try to get into this thing. Like, I always found Skate to be a much more chill experience. And, like, granted, yeah, you can make it, you can go do challenges or whatever and make it as hard as you want it to be. But for me, Skate was very much like, hey, I'm not great at this, and I just want to screw around and try to get good at it and show some clips and
to,
do that stuff.
To put it into context, Gary, like, I always compare Tony Hawk to Guitar Hero, where it's all about the high score, it's all about like the line, like just like the combos you're doing to get the number as high as possible. Whereas like Skate, I equate a little bit more to Rock Band, where like it's maybe a little more simmy with like they get into like the singing and the drums and stuff like that. But it's more about having like a fun, more chill time doing lines that like you want to personally perfect and stuff.
All right, well then maybe that would be more my cup of tea. I mean, I'll give it. a try.
It's that thing where you will fall off the board, but it's not going to be like,
I just don't want to be falling off the board constantly like I do in Tony Hawk. I don't really like skate culture. Is not fun. I'm too old for that shit. I don't really like it.
Yeah.
I like that style of gameplay. You know how much I love SSX. I go on about SSX all the time. You know, similar kind of thing, like doing flips and, you know, it's just a skateboard without wheels, right? When you're doing the snowboarding stuff. So it's a very similar kind of gameplay. I was playing Ollie World quite recently. I like that.
Okay.
Obviously, different style of gameplay. But I'll get on Barrett's recommendation. If it's a more chill time, I just don't like games that make me feel like I'm not good at games.
Well, no,
and I'm not good at games, but I don't like games that keep reminding me of that.
And that's the whole point. Is like you'll probably fall, but like they even have the mechanic of like you press a button and that's kind of like your start point. And if you mess up like whatever you're trying to do, you press a different button and it takes you back to like wherever you want to reset and stuff like that. So it is about like kind of self improvement, like perfecting whatever line you're trying to do and stuff like that. It's one push at a time in skate.
I will give it a try.
Gary, of course, people know you across the universe as the writer of Batman Fortress, the writer of Rogue
yeah,
One.
Yeah, issue two comes out a week from today. Thanks for reminding me.
This wasn't meant to promote yours. And of course, a co-host on the Kind of Funny Axe Cast. On that show, of course, it is led by the one, the only, the master of hype, Snowbike Mike. Snowbike Mike, how are you?
Greg Miller, thank you so much for having me on. Of course, I am a skate mega fan. Gary Witta, I have half of my face shaved right now. I have shaving cream on half of my face because I had to come bring the hype and the energy.
No, I'm glad that you did because this is, I mean, I should just not be a part of this conversation. Like,
turn on your camera. I'll turn off mine when you turn yours on.
Mike should definitely sub in for me. Let me get my face really close.
Okay.
The skate fans out there deserve to hear from other skate fans.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Okay, Gary, this is the deal.
Holy shit! You weren't kidding.
Snowbike Mike is coming in.
I gotta
bring the hype about skate, Gary. Skate Bear did a great job. Skate is about freedom. It's about creativity. It's about you shredding the gnar and bringing your personal style out to the skater world. And skate is the game that every gamer wants. And I'm so happy that EA is finally crawling out of that dumb creative hole that they've been sitting in and bringing us back the likes of NCAA football. Most importantly, Skate 4. And if this is to be true, Greg Miller, we're in for a treat because Skate 4 is everything that we're going to want and more because you can see the progression from Skate 1 to Skate 3. And as I said, for you, Gary, as a beginner, it's all about the freedom, the choice to create something new and do new tricks each and every time. So what you'll do is you're going to take that difficulty down to easy so you don't fall a bunch, right? So it'll be a little bit more arcadey than the true sim like I want. And you're going to just shred the gnar. You're going to kick flip onto some rails, front side nose blunt, maybe a little tail slide, and you're going to have a great time. It's going to be awesome.
Listen, Mike, I love the fact that you ran in from in the middle of shaving to respond to this. You're a fucking hero. Mm-hmm. And I will give it a try. Here's the question, because I'm not trying to harsh anyone's mellow here. These are just not my kinds of games.
Sure.
I don't want to yuck anyone else's yums. If you like these kind of games, I'm happy for you. They're just not my cup of tea. I will ask this question, though, in a broader sense. Do you have faith in EA to get this right? Because they often don't, right? We get all hyped up for something, bringing back a game, and then they bring it back, and it's not as good as the guys
who made Skate, though, right, Mike? That was one of the big things with EA Play when I got to debut this before Austin Creed ruined EA Play and had it canceled this year. Like, they're bringing back the guys who made Skate, and I think they know what they have. And earlier it had leaked in one of the conversations about this. Not leaked, I guess, but I think they actually talked. The footage leaked, but then EA's talked about the fact that they're really focusing on user-generated content, exploration, and community, right? Like, that's what I want out of Skate. Again, that's what I loved about Skate 1.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Greg. Of course, it's not under the same studio, of course. Yep. Now it's a new studio, but it is the people that created all the games that we love. And the big one that you just brought up, Greg, is like they're going to build off of what we already love and now add in that user-generated content. That's going to be the big selling point for Skate 4 is the user-generated content, just like me and Gary are about to enjoy in Fall Guys when they add that, right, Gary? But like,
oh yeah, can't wait to start. My kid in particular can't wait to start designing her own Fall Guys levels. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and so
listen, I'm going to keep an open mind.
It's going to be incredible.
Okay, good.
I'm going to keep an open mind, and I will try it when it comes out.
Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure, Mike. Enjoy your shower. Get back and get ready for streaming. Always pointing out, of course, this is kind of a weird one where there was no EA Play this year. And if you remember that time, I'm on IGN.com where Cat Bailey wrote that EA Play Live event won't be happening this year. Instead, the publishing giant will be revealing more about its projects, quote, when the time is right for each of them. And of course, we saw, you know, Jedi... Well, don't tell me. Star Wars Jedi Survivor get announced at Star Wars Celebration this year. It would make sense, obviously, if they're ready to start talking about Skate 4 to bring out Skate 4 whenever they want to. And apparently that's now. And that would kind of line up if they were trying to do something happening in Q4 fiscal year 23 with it. But it is interesting because, of course, the leak stuff that we had seen did make it seem like, oh, this is going to be a while till we see Skate, let alone the fact that, right, that was when I did the EA play where they announced that was 2020, right? So I guess 2 years from now, and you're looking at maybe two and a half, three. And again, that's what's been announced where they are. We'll see. We'll see. Gary, since you don't like the Tony Hawk games, I have good news for you and bad news for everybody else. Number two on the Roper Report, Tony Hawk says Activision scrapped a 3 and 4 remake following Vicarious Visions merger. This is Andy Robinson over at VGC. A planned remake of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4 was canned due to Activision Blizzard's decision to absorb 1+2 developer Vicarious Visions. That's according to the Pro Skater himself, who claimed during a live stream on Monday that Activision had briefly taken pitches from other studios, but allegedly wasn't happy with any of them. Quote, that was the plan, even up until the release date of 1 and 2, Hawk said. We were doing 3 and 4, and then Vicarious got kind of absorbed, and then they were looking for other developers, and then it was over. He added, the truth of it is Activision. We're trying to find somebody to do 3 and 4, but they just didn't really trust anyone the way they did Vicarious. So they took other pitches from other studios, like, what would you do with a Tony Hawk Pro Skater title? And they didn't like anything they heard. And then that was it. Who knows? Maybe when the dust settles, we'll figure it out. You never know. I never would have thought we were going to do 1 and 2 20 years later. Activision Blizzard announced in January 2021 that it planned to fold Vicarious Visions into Blizzard as a support team, and the merger became official in April of last year. At the time, Activision Blizzard said that Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 and Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy developer would no longer be creating games as a lead studio.
This is insane.
This does nothing for you.
This is insane, Greg. Of like, let's dissolve Vicarious Vision and put them into another fucking COD developer. But at the same time, like, we want to do another Tony Hawk game, but like, we don't want Vicarious Visions to do it because they need to help make more COD. But at the same time, we don't trust anybody as well as Vicarious Vision to do another Tony Hawk game. Like, what are you doing, Activision? What are you doing? You know, I have my qualms a little bit, my reservations about this Microsoft acquisition. I hope to fucking God they understand of like that, like, let's get Vicarious Visions out of whatever COD studio, let's bring them back, and they are going to make Tony Hawk remakes because 1+2 remake did very well, it reviewed very well, and let's keep doing that.
Bakes Cakes writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can to be part of the show and says Tony Hawk revealed that Vicarious Vision had plans to do Tony Hawk's 3 and 4 up until they got absorbed. With potentially more freedom under Xbox, could we see this come to light, or will it be too late to pull the spirit of Vicarious Visions out of Blizzard? Thanks for all you're doing. Congrats again on 5 years. Barrett, do you think that would actually happen?
Because that's the other aspect of, like, by the time Microsoft is kind of leading Activision, making decisions, maybe course correcting, like, is enough of that team still there, right? Like through the dissolvement into another COD studio, like, have people left because they're like, I came here to make dope remakes like Crash Bandicoot and Tony Hawk and stuff like that, not to help develop another Call of Duty, right? It's so upsetting, man, because like Tim really wanted 3 and 4, and that was a door opener to what I wanted, was like a Thug remake. I love Thug 1 and 2 and even American Wasteland, and like,
here's it's so my take on it, right? Gary, I know you don't care about skate games.
I do have thoughts on this, though.
Well, let me give you my thought, and then I'll kick it to you, right? The one thing you and I can both agree on is that all hail the Lord and Savior, Phil Spencer. Phil Spencer knows video games, he knows IP, and he understands what he's getting out of Activision Blizzard. And yes, there's Call of Duty, yes, there's Diablo, yes, blah, blah, blah. He was the guy who was, like, naming obscure shit they were getting out of this deal. Tony Hawk, not obscure. And I'm sure that Xbox will be doing something with Tony Hawk. And will it be 3 and 4? Will it be a new game? Will it be whatever? Will it be soon? I can't answer any of those questions, but you will get a Tony Hawk game out of this Activision Blizzard Xbox purchase. And I don't think they're going to go through and pull Vicarious Visions out of this because I think as soon as you get absorbed that way, the team starts to diffuse. People probably already left to go do other things at other places. Who they're already working on this thing over there. Maybe you go get, in a similar way, what we've been talking about with Skate, you go get the folks who worked on it before. They form Full Circle, as they did. They make a new studio, yada, yada, yada. You will get a Tony Hawk game. I believe in Phil Spencer. But what's your take on this Rogue One, Gary Whitta?
I mean, a few things. First of all, I'm genuinely, I can only assume, I don't know what the numbers were, but I can only assume that the 1 and 2 remake wasn't like a gangbusters financial success for Activision. Because if it were, you can guarantee they would find a way by hook or by crook to like do the next one, right? That's what Activision does, right? They release a successful game and then they fucking iterate it into the ground. That's what they did with the first, you know, Tony Hawk games, right?
Tony Hawk. You're talking here. I mean, here you go. This is from the Wikipedia. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1+2 has become the fastest selling game in the franchise, selling 1 million copies in the first 2 weeks. In the United Kingdom, the game was the biggest launch of the franchise since 2003's Tony Hawk Underground, second biggest launch of the franchise overall. Remember who we're talking about. Activision Blizzard. They don't want a success to them is something they can annualize every fucking year or microtransaction to all fucking hell. Right. So I don't think it's worth. I don't, like, they've published so many great games and then like Insane Trilogy, right? Crash Band, and then they just like. And granted, same thing. You know what I mean? But like, they are success means something different to what Activision Blizzard is. So I don't buy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's entirely possible that they've moved on. That they're like, let's just iterate a franchise into the ground, like they did with Tony Hawk, like they did with Guitar Hero, like they did with they have been doing, even though Call of Duty's more resilient to it, but you know they've been iterating that into the ground as well, and people are like sick of it. That maybe that's just the old model. Now, you know, now the new model now is fucking free to play, microtransaction, pay to win, Diablo Immortal. You know, they're look how much money they're making on look at how much money they're making on Diablo Immortal. It's obscene, right? And that's now the new way. But it's weird. It's like when they said, "Oh, they heard a bunch of pitches from different developers." And they didn't hear anything they liked. So what do they want to hear? This is not like someone coming in and pitching on a new Tony Hawk game where you might want to hear like a new vision, a new way to kind of breathe, you know, life into Tony Hawk, a new game, which by the way, I think everyone would love to see. We'd love to see like a new Tony Hawk game, not just endless remakes. But like, what do you want to hear from the pitch other than, well, let's just take what we did with 1 and 2 and do that with 3 and 4? Like,
I think the model is there. Said. They wanted to hear ways to monetize the fuck out of it.
How do we make it predatory microtransactions?
Cycle the board shop every day with new exclusive designs you can only get there for buying the real money.
Yeah, and like, even the interesting thing is, like, I don't think they fully did that. Chat, correct me if I'm wrong. But like, 1+2, a lot of like the way that you earned like new stuff could have been easily adapted into a system like that. It's been a minute since I've played it, so I'm kind of vague on it. And just a live correction, Vicarious Visions got put into Blizzard. I was thinking of Toys for Bob that got put into another Call of Duty studio. Two fantastic developers making really great remakes that did well, and they're just, you know, now they're nothing. And it's just so depressing.
Very sad. It's weird. It's like, why wouldn't they just trust another studio to do it? It's a fucking remake, and it's a sequel remake. Like, the model for the successful remake, but basically just take what you did with 1 and 2 and do that with 3 and 4. Like, does it have to be any more complicated than that? I don't know.
It doesn't.
I'm telling you, but I think what you are seeing here is the tip of the iceberg with Activision kind of showing their hand a little bit in terms of this is the kind of thing we're interested in and not interested in doing. I think they are more interested in games that can have Call of Duty levels of success, that can have Diablo 100%. Immortal levels of like layers and layers of microtransactions and tricking people into, you know, into constantly kind of hitting the button to buy more coins, buy more orbs. That's good. Scarily for me, I think that's the direction that these big companies are increasingly going. And I hope that under the new Microsoft ownership, the Xbox ownership, that shit gets reined back in, because some of the stuff we're starting to see now is very, very scary. The way that, you know, the new monetization model for games, I think, is terrifying. And I really, really hope that gets nipped in the bud. I don't think it will, but I think I would very much like to see that get nipped in the bud before it gets completely out of control.
I think it really depends on what game you're talking about. And I'm surprised, you know, we've seen microtransactions for so long, and I think people have experimented with them, done things, et cetera, and then you do have somebody like Activision Blizzard in their current stance being like, well, Tony Hawk can't be monetized.
They're getting scarier, though. Like, I watch this whole, because I'm fascinated by it, just the practice of it. I watched like this whole hour-long video of a guy who did he was like an expert in microtransaction, free-to-play, pay-to-win, like that whole kind of monetization model. And he did like a whole like layer upon layer deep dive into exactly all the different ways that Diablo Immortal gets you to give it sure. money. And it's brilliant and terrifying. And it's this is going to be the fucking future. And I don't want any part of it.
Well, Gary, we will wait and see what happens there. If, ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to wait and see maybe the ads that are coming up, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the exclusive post show. You can watch us record the Gamescast today, our TMNT and Neon White reviews. But guess what? You're not there right now. And that would have saved you for this show, not having to watch the ads. So here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to Uplift for sponsoring this episode. I've been using my Uplift desk for well over a year now. I love the thing so much, I decided to write a rap song for them.
The build quality is real good. It's made of real high quality wood.
They didn't ask for it. I just did it anyway. Getting my Uplift desk immediately improved my mood. Whenever I'm on shows, I'm standing up, I'm feeling a lot more energetic. And also, I kind of feel like I was just maybe creating some bad habits sitting down at a desk all day. I would move my legs up, I'd sit underneath my legs on my chair, and eventually all that stuff just created really bad back pain for me. Choose from laminate, whiteboard, bamboo, solid wood, butcher block, or even custom solid wood or laminate options. Uplift Desk won New York Times Wirecutter's Best Standing Desk from 2019 to 2022. And while I'm at it, I'm just going to give them an award as well. Best standing desk that I use in my bedroom from when they sent it to me until now. Uplift Desk have a 15-year warranty. They ship the same day you order with free shipping and free return shipping. So if you've been feeling the effects of sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day, maybe you want some more energy in your life, maybe you want to do squats in the middle of a Zoom call or something. Uplift your life. Go to kindoffunny.com/uplift.
Number three on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen, Gotham Knights has some new details from Game Informer over there. Andrew Reiner sat down with Gotham Knights executive producer Floor Marty and game director Jeff Eleanor. Out of the many things they talked about, I pulled out three that I thought were interesting. Number one was, can we play as multiples of the same character? They were asking, like, will there be some kind of explanation? Will it be weird? And Jeff says, you can make it as weird as you want. Floor follows up and says, we're leaving it up to players. We know some people will want to have different characters, but some won't care. I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a funny moment in the game if you are playing as two of the same character. We're giving you complete freedom. The other one that's making the rounds today, or one of the other ones that's making the rounds from this interview, is how big is Gotham City? Jeff said, it's pretty big. I haven't put one map over the other, but our Gotham is a big place. I tend to spend a lot of my Zoom calls on the Bat Cycle driving around Gotham. It is one of the fastest and most chill ways to move around the city. It feels like a big place. Fleur says, for sure, it's the biggest version of Gotham that has been represented in video games. The most important thing for us is its density and verticality. It has a lot of layers. The Batcycle is the long-range mode of transportation. And then again, on top of all this, they were talking about the different kinds of suits. Of course, one of the most recent trailers, and I know we're watching gameplay here, was Nightwing, and there was a whole bunch of different looks at different Nightwing suits you could have. They were asking what's going on with that. Fleur says, each of our knights has 11 different suit styles. As Jeff mentioned, those are full styles. Within a style, you can have customization with different pieces and different colorways. Jeff says, each suit style is basically a silhouette. Every time you craft a suit, think of it as an instance of that silhouette that comes with stats in a specific colorway that you can then override by unlocking more colorways as you go. Gary Bartholomew Witta.
Mm.
Does this do anything for you? Where's your hype for Gotham Knights?
I mean, I like this kind of game. I never really played the Arkham games, but I love the Spider-Man games on PlayStation. Sure. And this feels like very much like it's a genre unto itself, right? You know, this the kind of the explore a city, get involved in like 360 degree combat with a bunch of guys, use your powers, be a superhero. Spider-Man to me did that to perfection. And obviously that was based very much on the Arkham model. So yeah, I mean, I'll give it a try. I actually want to ask Barrett, because Barrett really is, I feel like he's the one who's probably got his eye on this one, because Barrett, I know how much you love the Arkham games. Given that this isn't Rocksteady, I mean, do you feel like this is going to be, what's your excitement level for this?
Well, first off, I just want to, what do you mean by you haven't really played the Arkham game? I can't just let you just say that.
I just kind of missed them.
For 3 years at this point,
Gary. I just kind of missed them.
How did I not know this about you, Gary?
I know, and they're on, and they've been on Game Pass, and I've really got no excuse. But I played both the Spider-Man games to completion, and Spider-Man 2 is probably, you know, my top three most anticipated games. So I do love that style. You're absolutely right. Given that I love that kind of game and I like Batman, I like the DC universe, I should go play them.
Especially like Arkham City, I think would definitely be your vibe if like you really liked the Spider-Man games. Arkham Asylum is definitely more a smaller and closed type of thing. But I've said this before. Like, this is the studio that did Batman Arkham Origins, which I know isn't the most loved Arkham game, but I personally really enjoyed it. I thought it had a great story, albeit, you know, some open world decisions that weren't entirely super interesting, and especially at the time, like, visually, it wasn't the most impressive thing to look at. And so ever since they officially announced this, I've been a believer of, like, the story that WB Montreal is setting out to tell. I believe that they're going to deliver something that's unique for them, and I like that they're not under, like, the universe that Rocksteady kind of like set off to tell. They're not in that same universe anymore, so they don't feel they might not feel restricted into what story they can tell. So I'm excited on that aspect. The more we see of like kind of the open world mechanics of, you know, what it's like to team up, what you're doing, and stuff like that, I do have a little more pause on just like moment to moment gameplay stuff, and I'm interested to see how that actually feels once we get it in our hands. As far as like the bullet points from today, I think it's cool to, you know, like it's maybe a little immersion breaking to, you know, have like two Red Hoods like teaming up at the same time, but
it's the game they're making,
yeah,
right?
It's the game like, they're making. And like
when I'm working on my Batgirl and you want to, I'm going to main Batgirl and then I want to keep going with my character, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad they have an answer for it. I'm glad they're not locking it. Obviously, that was a big thing for me with Avengers when it first started, that you couldn't have this, you know, you had to have individual people, which sucked. And then eventually they did it and who cared? It's the same thing here.
Yeah. And that I personally don't really care about. Like if you want to like team up with someone and yeah, like we're both playing Batgirl, because they even straight up said of like, hey, if you play as Batgirl, like it'll seem very similar to maybe a past game. So like, yeah, I definitely want to play as Batgirl if that's going to be the most like Batman feeling character in this game. And then the biggest this Gotham bullet point, this is like mobile
this
game
fucking
UI.
It's, how did it's they not decide? Great.
The biggest Gotham thing I'm a little concerned about, I personally didn't mind how big Arkham Knight was.
It felt big, right?
Yeah, it felt big, it felt dense, but it felt not too big for me personally. I know not everybody agrees with that, but I think once you push past there, that's where it starts to become, okay, like how much is this going to be the same stuff over and over again? How much is this going to turn into a kind of Ubisoft, you're kind of doing the same kind of like five things in each section of the city like over and over again? So that'll be, again, it's one of those things where it'll be hard to tell until we get the games in our hand.
Yeah, exactly right. That's the same way you and I have talked at length about this on shows, but like, I want to be excited for it. I look at it and I'm not like over the moon excited for it. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, like it's the biggest Gotham ever. Okay, cool. Is it just going to be filled with like bullshit or dead spaces? Or is it just going to be the same kind of fights over and over on the rooftops? Like when I break up my little Nightwing glider?
It looks decent. I was just watching the footage running in the background there. Like, if I were a betting man, I'd put my money on the Justice League game over this just because you know, I would bet on Rocksteady. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it looks all right. You know, it's kind of second string heroes, right? It's like, this is going to seem like a shitty comparison, but like, if you look at like the Insomniac Spider-Man games, you know, Spider-Man and Miles Morales, those to me feel like MCU movies, right? Like the full, you know, the full A-list. This to me kind of feels like a CW show.
I can see it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It feels kind of second tier. Just generally.
But like, are we talking like a CW quality of like The Flash, like when it started out, where it was like a pretty good CW show? Or are we talking about, you know, the actual like
Flash right now?
Flash right now, you know? I would say like I'm excited for like the thing I'm most excited for that I've talked about for years is just them adapting Court of Owls into a really cool visual medium. And that's just like, if they can pull that off, I'm gonna walk away happy.
We'll wait and see, ladies and gentlemen. October 25th, right around the corner, believe it or not. But right now, let's talk about some games that are about to be out. We have review roundups for several. Number four on the Roper Report is Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes. The review roundup is live. When I was compiling earlier today for this Switch game, we had a Metacritic of 80. IGN gave it an 8.0. Alex Santamaria wrote, "You generally know what you're getting into when you boot up any Omega Force games. But with Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes, includes pleasant surprises. Unlike the original Fire Emblem Warriors, Three Hopes no longer feels like a Musou game with references to another series layered on, but a true hybrid of Fire Emblem's social gameplay and Warriors battles. And it works despite overstaying its welcome and missing the mark when it comes to the more intimate interactions. Any progress in the Warrior series is welcome, and Three Hopes is full of well-considered changes that should bode well for the future. Over at GameSpot, it got a 7 from Kyle Hilliard. The Musou games have been on an upward trajectory ever since Omega Force stepped outside of its Dynasty comfort zone. This, along with the recent releases, has shown a stronger willingness to embrace the unique mechanics of the franchises it is borrowing from, and Three Hopes is one of the strongest examples yet. The repetitive and sometimes frustrating combat, however, is what makes up the majority of the experience. Even with improvements, the base idea behind the combat still loses its luster quickly. If you squint, though, you arrive at something closer to a Fire Emblem Three Houses extension, as opposed to a licensed spinoff, hoping to cash in on recognizable characters and locations, which is a good place to be. Gary, do Musou games ever do anything for you?
The Fire Emblem games, or any time a Fire Emblem game is like in the news, when I remember when Three Houses came out not so long ago, I really felt like I was kind of missing out on something, because Fire Emblem fans are like, they're very, very passionate, right? People are like, if you're like, no, there aren't casual Fire Emblem fans, right? Fire Emblem fans are like, they're all really, really into it. And it's a kind of game that I think, like, I'm kind of resistant to that. I should give one of them a try. Maybe I could get into it, but like, they're very, obviously very dense in terms of the lore, and I feel like because I've not spent years playing them, for me to come into to the Fire Emblem universe now would be a bit of a struggle. Sure. For me, there'd be like a lot of catching up to do. But I don't know, this one, like I said, this is kind of like a side game, right? This kind of feels almost like that that Zelda spin-off they did that was kind of done, Dynasty Warriors type combat. I don't know. This is coming out on the Switch, yeah? Is it all platforms?
Yep, no Switch.
There's no Switch.
PC chat, let me know.
Well, Fire Emblem is a Nintendo
product. Right, so that's the thing. So the thing that I struggled with, I liked that Zelda Dynasty Warriors type game.
Yeah.
Where I struggled with it was, and this is an argument where, again, I always say, like, there doesn't need to be like a Switch Pro or a Switch 4K or like a new, you know, hardware revision of the Switch for better graphics or whatever. Games like this, I think, demonstrate that is kind of needed, because many, many games on the Switch run fine, but there are a surprising number of games that I've recently encountered where I'm like, yeah, it's struggling. And that Zelda game really was. I was just looking at that footage, and anytime you're seeing like, you know, 20, 30 different characters on a screen, like, I'm thinking the Switch is going to have problems here. And that was certainly the case with the Zelda game. And I think it looks to me like it might be an issue here as well. I think they're starting to kind of reach like the peak of what they could really do with the Switch.
We shall see. Obviously, there'll be another Switch coming around the bend soon enough. But right now, Fire Emblem Warriors doing well. I'm with you, Gary. I'm not a Musou guy, and I'm not a Fire Emblem guy. And I look at Fire Emblem, and I've thought before, like, with Three Houses, right? Like, maybe I should get into this. Maybe I should give it a chance. And then, of course, I get distracted and don't end up playing it. But there you go. If you want that one, it's there for you. But it's not the only review of the day. Number 5 on the Roper Report, Sonic Origins review roundup is here for you. Not many people reviewed it today, but Metacritic had it at an 80 when I checked. Game Informer gave it an 8.5, where Brian Shea wrote, "While the music changes and audio mishaps are disappointing, the Sonic Origins package is terrific overall. Having the best versions of the classic Sonic saga in one bundle is supremely satisfying, and anniversary modes enhancements make the experience of playing through them more enjoyable than ever before. Even in a gaming landscape where most of these games are already available to download on every platform, Sonic Origins is a worthwhile package." Meanwhile, Push Square gave it a 7. Stephen Talby wrote, "Sonic Origins presents 4 of the Hedgehog's best games with style, and it's a joy to revisit these iconic platformers. Presentational flourishes like the animated cutscenes, as well as a host of extra modes like Boss Rush and Missions, give fans and newcomers alike plenty to see and do. And the museum is full of interesting artwork you might not have seen before. Some stingy DLC practices let the side down. And of course, the games themselves have some 30-year-old weaknesses. But this is, by and large, a wonderful spin down memory lane." Gary, are you hankering to go back to play some old Sonics?
No, you know me. My position hasn't changed. There's never been a good Sonic game, and I don't understand people that like Sonic games. But my question is, my kid likes them. My question is, how different is this from the one that came out not so long ago? Is it called like Sonic Generations? Because I remember that one was really well received, but that was kind of like a throwback.
Sonic Mania. You're talking about Sonic Mania.
Sonic Mania. That's what it was. Like, is it
that was kind of that, like that,
more,
those,
more of that?
That was like a reimagining of the classic.
Yeah, this is just like straight up remakes of the original.
Yeah, games. This is the original games enhanced. That was a new thing. Sonic Mania was a new thing.
I don't know. I mean, this is not. I did see one review of this morning that hated it. If it was like Kotaku.
Like I said earlier, there was still a lot coming in.
There was one site out there that was like, this game shits all over Sonic's legacy. I don't know, but somebody really didn't like it. Yeah, it was not good. I mean, what the fuck is Sonic's legacy? Anyway?
Yeah, come Mania on. Is like a completely new thing, and I would argue, Gary, yeah, it is the saying. One.
It's like it's basically Sonic 5.
Yeah,
it's the idea of right. We take the classic mechanisms and art kind of work and do yeah. stuff with it. It's not a remake. No,
only good
it's
Sonic brand new game, I would say.
It's. Okay. I mean, it's. I think for Sonic fans that are looking to kind of go back and relive the 90s or whatever, it seems like it'll scratch that itch.
We'll see about Sonic Frontiers, man. That's the one we're all looking for.
That's, I'm telling you, that I'm excited. I'm actually, that's the first Sonic game in forever that I'm thinking, you know what, maybe.
I'm definitely trying it. Yeah, you know, I was raised with the Sonic games. It's cool this is here. I don't need to go back. I've gone back before. I don't need to go back again. Number six on the Roper Report. Speaking of going back, we have a review roundup for the Capcom Fighting Collection. Guess what? The Metacritic was at an 80 this morning. IGN gave it an 8. Ronnie Barrier wrote, The Capcom Fighting Collection has everything it needs to be to succeed. A collection of great games alongside some rarities, an impressive museum filled with interesting art and music, and a snappy UI linking everything together. Online play has been flawless ahead of launch thanks to easy matchmaking and modern rollback netcode. It's a bummer that there's no cross-platform play and Street Fighter 3 is conspicuously absent. But other than that, Capcom truly has a collection worth collecting on its hands. Then the Six Access also gave it an 8. Over there, Petra CT said Capcom Fighting Collection plugs the gaps left in everyone's fighting game collection, sans rival schools, of course. With lots of customization available for how you play, 10 excellent ports, and a loaded museum, you'd be remiss to miss out on this excellent piece of history. Good if you like fighting games, right, Gary?
There's a lot of retro stuff happening right now. Like I was playing it this weekend and I really liked it. The new Turtles game, Shredder's Revenge, which obviously is like, you know, it's not a remake, but it's clearly meant to kind of channel all those old kind of 90s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles games. You've got Sonic. What are we calling it? Sonic Origins.
What did you talk about? Yeah.
Sonic Remake. And now this, like I feel like we're just increasingly kind of, I don't know if it says something about us culturally. And I've said to you before, I'm a fan of these remasters. I like it when games get brought back, but it just feels like it's becoming almost less of a trend and almost more like just all we do now is just kind of retreat into nostalgia and retreat into the past. Maybe because the future is terrifying. I don't know.
Sure. I mean, at least they're doing new stuff with it. You bring up TMNT. At least it wasn't just a redo of that.
No, I think that's good because it has a nostalgic feel, but it's still a new game. But it clearly is, you know, meant to harken back to those Turtles coin-op games.
Yeah, it's that time of year where it's backlog season, so I think it's a great time to drop a bunch of collections of old stuff and try to hit that nostalgia in the same way, obviously, movies and TV have been doing it forever.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven, bad news for Gary Whitta. There's an Xbox controller shortage. This is Chris Scully.
Well, in my house.
I know. We're going to get to your house in a second. Microsoft has acknowledged a shortage of Xbox controllers after many major retailers sold out completely this month. At the time of writing, major retailers in multiple regions are completely sold out of Xbox wireless controllers, and the peripherals seem to be particularly scarce across Europe. In the UK, there are currently no controllers in any color in stock at retailers Game, Smith's, Argos, Curry's, or even the official Microsoft store. Amazon UK is one of the few retailers with stock of the Carbon Black controller, which was newly added today. It was sold out yesterday. Third-party prices on Amazon for the Black controller start at $93.99, nearly double the official price. The situation appears to be similar in many regions, with Reset Era forum users discussing their difficulty in locating controllers in various countries, including Australia, France, the Netherlands, and Germany. The Xbox Design Lab appears to still be taking orders from players wishing to design and buy their own custom controllers. The Design Lab site claims, we aim to have controllers in your hands within 28 days of placing your order. It's not clear if this remains the case or simply hasn't been updated. Xbox confirmed the controller shortage following an inquiry by VGC, attributing it to supply disruptions. Quote, we know it may be hard finding Xbox wireless controllers right now due to supply disruptions. We're working as fast as possible with our manufacturing and retail partners to improve this. Please check with your local retailer for availability. Stock seems to be somewhat more readily available in the U.S. for now, with availability in the Microsoft Store and Best Buy, though some sites such as Amazon U.S. and GameStop are currently only selling pre-owned controllers, suggesting supplies aren't plentiful in the region. Gary, good for everybody to know. Good to get out of there. How many of these goddamn... last year, you're like, I'm going to start collecting Xbox controllers. How many do you have right now?
This weekend, I was actually going to assemble them all and take a picture of like the current collection. But I do have a lot. I don't know, probably like 25, 30 Xbox
controllers.
And that's not even counting like old Xbox One. I'm just talking about just like current generation Series X stroke S, the ones with the share button. I don't know, a lot. I've got too many.
You got two children to put through college one day. This is where you pull the trigger and you just ship them to the UK. Start selling them and ship them.
Well, what happens is it's a very popular thing now that when... oftentimes when companies promote a game, they send you like influencers and people in the media, they send like a little care package. And one of the things they'll often send you is like one of those Pope art, you know, custom designed. Like there was a thing recently, they sent me the company that makes blackout, literally these curtains right here. Yeah. There's a company that makes blackout curtains and they're marketing them at gamers now. Cause in your gaming cave, you know, you want to keep the sunlight out and have a dark, you know, be able to control the lighting in your environment. And again, it's fucking too hot today. These blackout curtains are actually saving my life. But even they sent me a custom controller. It was like a heat resistant controller. Awesome. So like when adaptive, whatever you want to call it, like when you put your hands on it, like the color, you know, those coffee mugs that change when you put hot coffee in them. It was when you put your hands on it, the color of it. So I've got that fucking controller now. I don't even know what to do with it. I've got too many damn controllers, but it's nice. You know, it's nice to have because, you know, if one shits the bed, you go straight on to the next one. I'm not the kind of person like throws controllers and breaks them. I'm not a rage quitter or anything like that. That would be, I mean, I could be. Like honestly, I could rage quit games and like throw my controller a lot and just like go to the next one on the list. It's a nice thing to have. And I love the design. Again, props to the Xbox Design Lab. What a great little idea that is. I wish Sony would just steal it and do it with the DualSense. They added those nice soft pastel colors recently. Design Lab's great. I love it. They need to extend it to the Elite controller, but otherwise I think it's such a great little idea. It's really fun to kind of go onto the website and customize the controller and things like that. So yeah, I would like to see Sony steal that idea.
Gary, I'd like to see this Xbox supply shortage end for controllers, but that's so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah! Out today, the Elder Scrolls Online High Isle is out everywhere. Broken Mind, PS4, Switch, Xbox One, Numbles, PC and Xbox, Shadow Run Hong Kong Extended Edition on everything. Good Company on PC. Wreckfest is on PC Early Access. All the PlayStations, well, just Xbox One, it says Switch. Shadow Run Returns is on Android, iOS, Linux, Mac, PC, PS4, PS5, Switch, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Fall Guys is out everywhere, and it's free to play, Gary.
I know.
I'm very excited. You playing already?
I've tried it this morning. The launch has been a bit of a mixed bag. I don't know why, but apparently it's still major game companies, you know, because, you know, Fall Guys is owned by Epic now. It's a big company, and they know a little thing. Epic knows a thing or two about online gaming. Apparently, in the year 2022, it's still impossible to launch an online game on day one and have it just work. Like, it's been a shit show this morning. I installed it on my Xbox. I installed it on my Nintendo Switch. I installed it via the Epic Game Store because, you know, they have that version on PC now as well. And it was just one connection error after another. Couldn't link my Epic account. You have to link your Epic account now. Couldn't get it running. Couldn't matchmake. Like, I finally, like 10 minutes before we came on air, I was managed to get it working on my Nintendo Switch. Plus, also, lots of really weird bugs that should have been caught in QA. I don't know why, but like on the Xbox version, a lot of the button prompts are mapped wrong. Like, it has like PlayStation button illustrations, like L1, R1. What the fuck is that? I'm on Xbox L1, R1. Weird things like press the left thumbstick to go back when it should be the B button. How is this shit not caught in QA? Listen, I fucking love Fall Guys. I'm one of the biggest Fall Guys fans out there. But this and this very, very heavily hyped free-to-play launch, which I think ultimately, once all the teething troubles settle down, I think it's going to be great for Fall Guys. I think we're going to see a big renaissance of Fall Guys. Switch players coming to the party, Xbox players coming to the party, all free-to-play, cross-play, cross-progression. I think it's going to be great. Snowbike, Mike, and I are actually doing a big community games night tonight, 7:30 p.m. Come to twitch.tv/GaryWitter. Go to twitch.tv/NerdWhiteMike. We're going to be squad streaming, giving away prizes, playing games with the community. We'll do private lobbies. Anyone can come and play with us. I fucking love Fall Guys. I never fell out of love with it. But this launch was a bit of a mess this morning.
You mentioned, of course, that it's now under the Epic umbrella, which of course means it has been delisted on Steam as of today as well. If you use your Steam client to play Fall Guys, they have committed that they're going to continue to update it.
So yeah, if you have it on Steam already, you can continue to play it. But if you want to get it as of today, you got to go to the Epic Game Store. The other thing I want to mention, and I need to play it a little bit more, but I did play a little bit this morning. The Switch version is bad. It's really talking about games that struggle on Switch. I don't know why Fall Guys would struggle on Switch. I played a little bit on handheld. I know that it's much lower resolution. It's 720p. It's 30 frames a second instead of 60 on some of the next gen consoles. But like, it's janky. Like, the frame rate is shitty. And that's really, really sad for me because my kid loves Fall Guys. I want to be able to play it handheld. I guess I can still play it on the Steam Deck because, again, I did some of that back end magic to get it running on my. Oh, if you want to play Fall Guys on your Steam Deck, you trust me, you'll go into Linux back end. You're going to fuck around and get it working. Come talk to me. I'll show you how to do it. But on the Switch, which was the version I was kind of most excited about because there's a massive Switch player base out there, handheld, like having Fall Guys on the go is going to be great. But based on my little experience today, it's low res, it's framey, it's really janky. I think they've got a lot of work to do on the Switch version. I think you're going to see in the next few days as Digital Foundry and some other people get their hands on the Switch version, a lot of complaints about performance on the Switch version of Fall Guys.
We'll wait and see. Your final out today comes from MadogNick96 from Massachusetts, who wrote in and said, "Hi, Greg and Gary. I just wanted to alert you of an out today since it seems SNK doesn't really give much notice on their smaller titles. The King of Fighters 98 Ultimate Match Final Edition is out today for PlayStation 4 and Steam. It was shadow dropped early this morning with no warning and just a tweet that it's out. To be clear, this was already available on Steam, but is now also on PS4. It's not to be confused with King of Fighters 98 Ultimate Match that's already on PS4. That is a PS2 on PS4 Classic. This is a new game, has online and rollback netcode and more." Hard to believe it's that. Nobody covers this shit.
It sounds just as simple as, you know, like the new structure of PS Plus, you know.
New dates for ya! Naruto stuff's coming back to Fortnite this week, so if that's your jam, look for it. Tiny Tina's Wonderlands is coming to Steam on June 23rd, and then the one, the only, Jane Foster comes to the very much alive Marvel's Avengers June 28th.
Are you still playing that?
I have not touched Marvel's Avengers this calendar year.
Wow. You're looking in the coal mine. If you've stopped playing it,
I put it out in the Avengers chat here, and I've seen if anybody's bitten on it. We're talking about it, but it doesn't look like we've confirmed if we're actually going to play next week, but we'll see. That's also Outriders Day, so it's like, come on. I got a bunch of dead games I got to play again. Deals of the day for you. Until June 24th, Techland is offering Dying Light 2 Stay Human at 33% off on the Standard Edition, 25% off on the Deluxe Edition, 20% off on the Ultimate Edition. That's through the Steam Summer Sale. Xbox owners can take advantage of the same limited time offer through the Deals Unlocked sale. Xbox Game Pass got an update today. Available today is the Shadowrun Trilogy on cloud and console. Total War Three Kingdoms on PC. Coming soon, FIFA 22 will be on console and PC June 23rd. No Rock'a Blade Point will be on cloud, console, and PC June 23rd. And Far Cry 5 will be on cloud, console, and PC July 1st.
Game Pass just continuing to kill it.
Gary, we asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Mm-hmm. We have one in here from Fascinated Jack who says, "Greg, we got to talk about Jane in Marvel's Avengers." Fascinated Jack, I will remind you once again, you are fucking nothing. All right. You are a passenger on my fucking bus, and I'm the goddamn bus driver. All right. So when I haven't pulled into the station and said, "That's it, everybody, get off the fucking bus" yet. So I don't need you to come in and be like, "All right, excuse me, in 4 blocks, are you going to take a left turn?" Yeah, I'm taking a left turn, motherfucker. I'm the bus driver. Now sit your ass down, Fascinated Jack. I'm trying to fucking drive the bus right now. Greg Miller's going to miss.
People give me shit.
Greg Miller's going to miss Avengers news. He's not going to put it anywhere in the fucking show. That's what you just thought. That's what you just said. Did you miss yesterday when I declared myself a fucking god because I have a Steam Deck? Did you think God would miss something about another god coming to Avengers today? Fascinated Jack.
I think it's
we're going in here. We're going in here right now to see if we can fucking ban it. Did you use your real fucking Twitch name, Fascinated Jack? Of course not, you fucking coward. You would have been bounced right out of this fucking place right now if you did
that. Fuck me, Greg. I get shit for being harsh on people sometimes, but like you, this is the at least I'm honest about who I am. You project this like nice guy persona, nice guy Greg. But every now and again, the mask slips, and the real Greg emerges, and there's a fucking mean streak there, isn't there?
It's that thing, Gary. I'll take it on the chin half the time about all the jokes people want to make at my expense, all the things. But you want to show up on the show and think I'm not going to fucking talk about Avengers news? You thought you're going to get out of here without any Avengers news from Greg Miller on an Avengers day?
You just admitted you haven't even played it this calendar year.
Yeah, well, I mean, I haven't played this calendar year, Gary. Guess how much I've missed? Not a goddamn thing. Nothing. I've missed the Tachyon event. I've played the Tachyon event before. Where's the new fucking content? Where's the new thing to do? Where's the new character?
You'll be able to play it handheld on the Steam Deck now.
No, I'm not restarting. I can't. I'm not starting over. I'm not doing that again, okay?
Oh, because there's no cross-play, right? Cross-progression?
Yeah, cross-progression, yeah.
So it's 2022. What the fuck is going on? No wonder it's a dead game.
Is that really what we want? Is that what we think killed Avengers? We're not going to do this again, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I mean, add it to the list.
You can go watch the most popular episode of The Blessing Show on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames if you want to find out more about what happened to Avengers. Of course, tomorrow you can find out what's happening in all the gaming news. Blessing and Janet will be hosting Games Daily. Then it'll be me and Tim on Thursday. Then it will be Blessing and Janet on Friday. If you're watching live right now, ladies and gentlemen, that Fall Guys fun isn't stopping. Mike and Blessing are streaming some Fall Guys right after this to hang out.
I'm gonna go over there and play with them.
Ooh, that'll be very fun.
I'm jumping over.
Okay, yeah, good.
And then again, tonight 7:30, don't forget, me and Mike are going to be squad streaming it.
And don't forget, Gary and I are going to do a post show right now, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where we're going to answer a question from Olives. If you wanted to get that, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, that's where you could write in, you could get the show ad free, and you could apologize. Fascinated Jack, I'm going to be waiting for your fucking apology, Fascinated Jack, for what you've done to me, and you've offended God. Do you understand that? I will smite you with my dice. Of course, if you have no money to talk our way, no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and then podcast services around the globe each and every weekday for a brand spanking new episode. If you want to catch the Fall Guys stream that they're about to do, but you're listening to this later, remember YouTube.com/kindoffunnyplays, our brand new YouTube channel. It could use your likes, subscribes, and shares. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.